Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Next, Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, July 7th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant, and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you can jump aboard the way the voice man himself told you. Calling in at 713-780-3776, texting in at that very same number. You can also join in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975, or on our brand new ESPN Houston app, which already was up and running on Apple phones. It is now good to go on your Droid. So many ways to get in touch with the show. I did want to start off very quickly because I hope everyone had a great weekend, that everyone was safe, that everyone woke up with all of their fingers, all of their appendages, but I think the entire station's thoughts are with everybody in Central Texas, in Kerrville, the kids at Camp Mystic. It's just an absolute tragedy that took place over the weekend, the flooding that's killed, a death toll that is rising every single time I check it. I think it's close to 100 right now. So our thoughts are with them. I wish we could give more than thoughts, but for all those affected, you're in our thoughts. Anyway, it was a hell of a sports weekend for one team in particular, your Houston Astros. So I put together a little montage of all of the fireworks over three games in L.A.
First pitch, Isak Paredes gets into one, deep to left field, all the way back, and gone! Astros' first pitch of the series, it's 1-0.
This ball hit high in the air to left field, carrying well, looking up is the center fielder, Paredes, it's gone! First regular season home run at Dodger Stadium for Jose Altuve. 1-1 pitch is drilled, high and deep, forget about it! 6-1 Astros, Christian Walker, a home run in this building. Tini skies one deep to right field. Has he done it twice on this road trip? He has! Second grand slam on the trip for Caratini. The Astros score four, and it's a 13-1 lead. Altuve skies one to right. Back goes Hernandez, still going back. He's watching this one go. Altuve adds three to the board to right field. 17-1 Astros with a three-pointer.
There's that guy again.
Hits a high drive to center field. Paez turns and watches it fly over the wall for a home run.
And sends this one to right field. Pretty well hit. Back goes Ruiz near the wall, looking up. Makes a jumping attempt, and that ball's gone. Christian Walker, a home run in seven of his last eight games at Dodger Stadium. This ball drilled deep to left center field. Back-to-back jacks. It's 4-1. Yiner Diaz, number 12 on the season. Altuve drives one high and deep to left field. All the way back to the wall. That one's gone. Altuve hits his third home run of the series. And the Astros lead this game 5-1. Altuve with RBI number 10 on the road trip.
Oh, my God. The most American 4th of July ever. A beatdown of L.A. 18-1 on the 4th of July. Imagine you're a Dodger fan. You went to the game with your family. You were hoping to see fireworks on the 4th of July. After all, Dodger Stadium, pretty cool place to go to. Just watch what's going on in the parking lot. Keep your head on a swivel. But to watch the fireworks, you had to sit and wait and wait and wait for the Astros to be done with you. I mean, goodness gracious. I think that the weekend would have been a victory no matter what after what went down on Friday. no matter what. I was to the point where, you know, I'll watch a little bit of Saturday. I'll watch a little bit of Sunday. That Friday beatdown, the worst in the history of Dodgers Stadium, was just beautiful. And you even had Jose Altuve wrapping it up with his second home run of the game. He was 3-for-3. He had a double, too. Hit a home run to wrap up the series on Sunday. But then Saturday happens. They win 6-4 in a game where Framber Valdez didn't have his best stuff. They won yesterday 5-1. And along the way, you have seen next man up, the story of the 2025 Houston Astros season continue. A series without Yordan Alvarez and without Jeremy Pena, with Ryan Gusto contributing, with something named Zach Short contributing. No offense to Zach Short. He's now hitting 67. Should he be an all-star? Just asking the question. Even Taylor Trammell made a beautiful catch in this game. The Astros outscored the vaunted billion-dollar Dodgers over the weekend by a whopping score of 29-6. They are 20 games over 500. They have lost just one series since May 7th. 2 months, one series loss. 36-17 over that stretch. And if you want an American cherry on top of all of it, they've now won 8 straight games on the 4th of July. 8 in a row. Could they have done anything more to make us happy over the weekend? Maybe Jake Myers doesn't get a calf injury with the all-star numbers that he's putting together. I think the Astros called up yet another person I've never heard of to fill his place. That was legalized murder. And to do it to the Dodgers, the team that has complained the most, with perhaps the most justifiable bitching of all the teams. I say that because the Yankees, the Astros, have just stuffed in a locker every single time they've played them in the playoffs. You know, the Dodgers, you've played them once. It did go 7 games. They have won 2 World Series since. You have not played them in another World Series. Maybe this year it'll happen. Hell, this year it's starting to look like that's the likely outcome. Dodgers are dealing with a lot of injuries, but the Astros are dealing with a lot of injuries right now. And to go in front of all of those exceptionally loud, booing all-game Dodgers fans, and to do that, I mean, what a performance. There's a part of me that's a little concerned that the Astros have peaked. I say that because they have the easiest schedule in baseball the rest of the way. This might be the most joy and excitement we feel about this team for months. Months! Because what American League series gets you going? Seriously, what American League series makes the blood pump? Nothing. You're not scared of anyone, including the team that beat you last year in the playoffs, the Tigers, who have a better record than you, barely. It's just the National League teams, and you just beat all 3 of the best teams in the National League, basically back to back to back. Rockies in the middle of it. You sweep the Phillies, you take 2 of 3 against the Cubs, and you swept the Dodgers in L.A. I mean, damn, think about it this way. What's that? Doing a little math here. 10 of 12? You lost as many games against the Rockies as you did against the 3 best teams in the National League. Which is to say, 1. What they are doing baffles me still. Especially this one. Because everything does, maybe not the injury side of things, but everything on the diamond really does seem to be going their way. And to again win a series against the best team in baseball that has a lot of injuries too. They're probably just as banged up as the Astros in their own way. I think they've had more players miss time on the injured list than anyone in the sport, And if you're adding up the missed games, it's a pretty significant margin between them and the next team. But you went into their house and beat this team 29-6. And two guys who factored in the most in that Friday beatdown, Lance McCullers and Jose Altuve. Oh, God, that's got to hurt. If you're a Dodgers fan, this was beautiful. Someone commented about the soccer game. Who gives a crap? Who gives a crap? Soccer's stupid. It's stupid. No offense, Glenn. It's dumb. It's not American. We don't care about that. All that matters is what the Astros did to the Dodgers over the weekend. Some would say it's the national baseball team of Mexico, and they just got stuffed in the locker. Dead. So if you want to celebrate what the Astros just did over the last three games, you know how to do it. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text into the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. You can also join us on our brand new app, which is available for your iPhone. It's also available for your Android. Both of these updates to the apps, whether it's iPhone or Android, holy crap. Seriously, it's taken it to a new game, to a new level. A new level of the game. It's like Astros over the Dodgers. Awesome. So you can weigh in on that. Up next, I wanted to give the entire first segment to the Houston Astros and celebrating what they accomplished. Up next, you're going to hear some whining and crying, the sweet tears of unfathomable sadness from a sad little Dodger boy. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show. AJ's in for Sean on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Pick it on one.
I don't think Todd Kalas or Jeff Blum had any clue how many more fireworks there would be over the course of that game. Friday night, in an 18-1 win over the Dodgers before the Astros won on Saturday and on Sunday, Houston had 20 hits, 6 doubles, 5 home runs, and scored 10 runs in the 6th inning. And it started on the very first pitch, as you heard right there, as Isak Paredes smacked one out of the ballpark to left field. And you got Lance McCullers on the mound, too, and Lance was solid. Not like he's against the NL Central. He was solid. It wasn't great, but he was solid. Over the course of this game, the entirety of the sports internet world actually was paying attention. But they weren't paying attention because the Astros, banged up, went into Dodger Stadium and on the 4th of July beat the absolute bejesus out of the supposed best team in baseball with all of the money invested in that roster. They were focusing on comments made by Dodgers color commentator Oral Hershiser, who's a former major league pitcher. Pretty damn good one, too. I think he had 200 wins over the course of his career. When Ben Kasparius was really struggling starting on the mound for L.A.
Feels like you've stumbled on the right thing, because even veterans have slumps.
Hit hard to deep center field. Páez on the run. He'll turn and watch this one wedge itself in the bottom of the wall. And Cam Smith flying into second, anchoring there with another extra base hit for the Astros. Double homer double to open third against Kasparius.
I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know what it's coming. I mean, that is not a bad pitch. It's really a very good pitch. Low and away. Probably would have ended up by the ankles if it would have made it past the bat. It's the other thing that you analyze. You analyze your grip, your delivery, your glove position on different pitches. Am I giving something away?
We gave him full context there to be generous. But you heard it right there from Oral Hershiser. I don't want to open old wounds, but it's as if the Astros knew what was coming.
It sounded salty, and that's being charitable. I'm being very kind to Oral Hershiser here. I really am. I know a lot of people were mad about it. And I thought about it in the immediacy when I saw it and the backlash to it and the agreement by many. I did get mad at first. But then I thought to myself, I'm not going to let this ruin my 4th of July or my 4th of July weekend. I'm not letting this ruin my Saturday. The hangover might. I'm not letting this ruin my day. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought to myself, isn't it great to just drive all of these people crazy still 8 years after the scandal supposedly happened and the Astros were the only team to have done anything? I know a lot of us want to get mad about it and you want everyone to apologize to the Astros. It's a natural thought to have as a fan. But I feel like you're looking at this all wrong if you get angry about this. And I say this as somebody who has been through this now with two of my favorite teams. Astros are my favorite baseball team. I'm not the biggest baseball fan. I think you guys all know that. But the Patriots are my first favorite team. If you want to really enjoy a team's run, the legitimacy in the eyes of others does not matter. It's only about what you saw. And the added cherries on top, like an entire cherry tree chopped down by George Washington on top, is that you get the crying and the whining, the sweet tears of unfathomable sadness, to quote Eric Cartman from the infamous South Park, Scott Tenorman Must Die. There's nothing quite like reveling in the misery of the teams you take down. Have you seen Conan the Barbarian? I'm about to do a terrible Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies to see them driven before you and to hear the lamentations of their women. So I actually, with a little bit of time to think about it, am happy this Oral Hershiser moment happened. I love that they're still thinking about that. All these years later, they have two World Series since. They have more money than God. They can build the best possible team they can. They've actually won as many World Series as the Astros. And while we joke that the World Series that they won during the pandemic has an asterisk attached to it, let's be fair. They have an equal amount. The Astros made the playoffs that year and made it to the ALCS. They didn't deserve to make it to the ALCS. They were below 500, right? Let's at least admit that. But that's not the point. Do not get mad about this stuff. Don't get mad about the way it's being framed by some whiny dude who used to pitch for the LA Dodgers who may or may not have had some questions about his style. Right? Didn't he do some dirty stuff? Oh, Hershiser, dirty balls. Wasn't he scuffing them up or something like that? Anywho, listen, guys. Oral Hershiser had all this to say, and an awful announcing, which is one of these websites that keep tabs on all sorts of broadcasters, from talk show hosts to play-by-play. And when noteworthy things are said in the midst of a broadcast, they'll bring it up and they'll write an article about it. And in this article that they wrote about what Oral Hershiser said, this is what I think you are allowed to get mad at. Because the article ends like this. Quote, "The league didn't vacate the Astros' 2017 title, and the players didn't get punished. The wounds never really healed. But Dodgers fans haven't forgotten, and clearly neither has Oral. So there's no reason, there's no evidence the Astros were up to anything nefarious on Friday night. But the moment Hershiser cracked that door open, even ever so slightly, it's impossible not to look through it. They just lost 18-1. And this is your takeaway from the game. And maybe this is yet another indictment on how much attention people pay to the sport of baseball as a whole. And you've also got a writer writing the weekend of the 4th of July. So perhaps he is doing his best to write something that's going to get a lot of clicks. And that may be, in one way, shape, or form, rage bait. Because a lot of people got mad about this, right? But to me, this is like when the Colts cried about losing to the Patriots in that AFC championship game where they lost like 45-10 and New England ran for about 200 yards, but the balls were deflated. And then it was found way after the fact that the balls actually were all equally deflated and that Tom Brady was railroaded because everyone in the NFL was jealous of how good the Patriots had been. This is what it feels like to me with the way that it's framed by awful announcing, which is a, I'm just going to say it, not exactly unbiased publication when it comes to the political sphere these days. In fact, I think they're quite insufferable and sanctimonious in a lot of different ways. This right here, though, do you really buy into the idea that Oral Hershiser saying that a bullpen pitcher who's getting a start and getting shelled by an Astros team that's banged up is suggesting they might know what's coming. He actually could have been suggesting that he is tipping his pitches. But the way that awful announcing frames this article, it's as if, oh, the Astros must be up to something again. And to me, that's crap. It's complete crap. They lost this game 18-1. That pitcher has no business being in the majors, based off of what I saw. I have never heard of him before this weekend series, and I imagine I'll never hear about him again. Ben Kasparius, cool. And by the way, he's like a good prospect. I wouldn't give a crap either, okay? You know how I roll. I'm not paying attention to other teams. But that guy sucked. He was awful. And then the guy who came in the sixth inning also sucked, whoever he was. But the takeaway is that Oral Hershiser, some old fossil who hasn't been in the game in years, is saying, oh, it's like something's, it's like they knew what was coming. Don't want to reopen old wounds. And then everyone is like, oh, the Astros are cheating again. Astros derangement syndrome is back. That part's only a little annoying, but the way this article framed it and wrote it up, and I don't know how many people read the article because I don't think anyone reads anymore, that actually pissed me off. Not what Oral Hershiser said. What Oral Hershiser said got me off. It was a nice little navy blue pill for me, whatever the Astros color is. I don't know what their color is, the navy blue that they have, but it was a navy blue of some sort pill for me. Got me going, you know? I was real excited on that Friday night, especially when I saw that at the end of the night. But this awful announcing article is a load of crap, and they know it. That last part, there's no evidence the Astros were up to anything nefarious on Friday night. But the moment Hershiser cracked that door open, even ever so slightly, it's impossible not to look through it. You're basically saying that there's no evidence but Astros cheating. That's what you said at the end of that article. Rag! 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN975. We'll read some of your comments in response to Oral Hershiser and awful announcing, slandering the Astros. Would they say awful announcing for slander? Do they have any money?
Lead. And the fans respond by saying Altuve.
That was funny by Jeff Blum. Also funny, Jeff Blum Saturday watching the game from the stands on Fox clapping as a Dodgers player made an error. That was caught in 4K. Like the kids say, go online and you'll see posts on X. Tap and load in 4K. Shut up. Shut up. Everyone who does that, you're the worst. Anyway, I'm just an old man yelling at a cloud. Age 36. Astros swept the Dodgers over the weekend. A really impressive series victory. On aggregate, thanks to the 18-1 victory on the 4th of July, 29-6. They'll wrap up the first half of the season with two more series. One
against the Guardians. That starts tonight. They have Thursday off. And then 3 at Daikin Park against the Texas Rangers. Their lead in the American League West did not grow over the weekend because the Mariners actually won 3 in a row themselves. So they're 7 games up on Seattle. And then, as far as the actual league, the Astros have a 3-game lead on the Toronto Blue Jays for the 2 seed in the American League. They are a game and a half back of the Tigers. The Blue Jays have completely overtaken New York. They lead the Yankees by 3 games in the AL East. Who thought that would happen, right? I've always looked at the Blue Jays the same way I look at the LA Chargers, in that they have cool uniforms, but they always underachieve despite having a bunch of good names on the roster. You know, like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and George Springer, et cetera, but they have won 8 games in a row. They're the only team in baseball that could make an argument that they're as hot as the Astros right now. But the Astros just took down the Phillies, sweep, Cubs, 2 out of 3, and Dodgers, 3 best teams in the National League. Really impressive stretch that they put together. Who won the weekend for the Houston Astros? It has to be Jose Altuve. Right. 2 home runs Friday. The last home run yesterday. LA fans remember him from 2017. Hate him from 2017. The first home run he hit, did any of you guys notice that the Dodger fan who caught the ball did not throw that ball back? He had a ball in his pocket, and he took that ball out of his pocket, and he threw it back on the field as if he'd caught it. I don't know if that's stolen valor or what, or if he wanted to be a classic Dodger D-gen and just throw it back out on the field. So he brought the ball to the park on the off chance the Astros hit a home run so we could throw it back out there. But he did keep the home run ball, I think. I think he actually did get the ball and he had another one on him. Maybe he caught it from batting practice or something like that. I don't know. Also, it was pretty funny to see Jose Altuve still signing autographs with Dodgers fans actually taking the autographs. Oh, I thought you hated him. Oh. Are you also a bandwagon sports town? Huh. Interesting. We talked about Oral Hershiser and his comments in the last segment. For those who did not hear them, after Cam Smith almost hit a home run and the Astros had shelled Dodgers rookie Ben Kasperius, Oral Hershiser, who is the Dodgers color commentator, said, quote, "I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know what is coming." And instead of offering something like, oh, rookie pitcher is perhaps tipping his pitches, he danced around it. So in the way that he danced around it, the salty sounding comments are the ones that you remember. They're the ones that blew up online. I did look this up in artificial intelligence, tip of the hat to you, tip of my Astros-themed El Tiempo hat to you. Oral Hershiser was accused of doctoring baseballs after his 1991 shoulder surgery. In 1997, Orioles manager Davey Johnson claimed Hershiser was going from his mouth to the ball. Chad Ogea, a teammate of Hershiser's in Cleveland, joked Hershiser, quote, "showed me how to cheat, but said I can't do it until I'm about 35, end quote. Hershiser denied these claims. Hershiser also said he would never scuff baseballs, fearing it would negatively impact his talent, but admitted to using scuffed balls if he found them. So he would never use scuffed baseballs unless he found them. Interesting. I love how artificial intelligence wraps this up with saying, Hershiser, a well-known Christian, had a unique perspective on this, as mentioned in the interview. Lots of accusations, no action taken. Oh, he's got something in common with the Astros, if you think about it. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Altuve won the weekend. Who comes in second place? I would say everyone who did not blow their fingers off with fireworks over the weekend, right? Had a couple of people text this in. Paul, I wanted to let you know a couple of things. Jalen Green didn't blow off his fingers. CJ Stroud didn't blow off his fingers. And Dylan Brooks didn't blow off his fingers. By the way, I didn't think any of those guys would blow off their fingers. I thought there might be somebody that had a Jason Pierre-Paul incident, but not an actual athlete. I figured there would be something that went viral, some video that pops up in the feed. It would have been nice to see, firework accident as opposed to all the absolutely horrible things going on in Central Texas. But everyone did seem to survive with their fingers as far as the playing with fireworks game in the Houston sports landscape. So we do have that going for us. So that you could definitely consider a victory. Christian Walker had a very good weekend as well. Christian Walker, get this, guys, who would have thought we'd ever see it, but Christian Walker is hitting over 230.
Yeah.
Playing against the National League West has certainly helped. He is hitting 231 with 12 homers after a couple over the weekend, 45 runs batted in. He's in the midst of a six-game hitting streak. And in half of those six games, he's had multiple hits. Tuesday against the Rockies to open the month, he had three. And then on Friday against the Dodgers, he had four. For the month of July, Christian Walker's numbers, he's hitting now .429 with a .448 on-base percentage, a .643 slugging percentage. Add it all up for an OPS of 1,091. Christian Walker is back! In July. Back! You almost hate that the All-Star break's coming up. He's red hot. You don't want to cool him down. But very cool to see that Christian Walker's back on track. If we're doing like a first place, second place, third place, Jose's in first, Walker's in second. You could argue some Astros pitchers are in one of these other spots, but I'm going to give it to Zach Short because I had never heard of Zach Short until this weekend. You might even be asking the same thing because maybe you were, in a bit of a haze as you came out of the 4th of July weekend. But, yes, there's a guy on the Astros named Zach Short. Zach Short. And this Zach Short fella, get this, everybody, and it's only been a couple of games, but he is hitting .667. With an OPS of 1750. If he retired today, he might be the greatest Astro ever. If you forget about like the totals and all that stuff. But he's been great. I think he's supposed to be a third baseman. He's about my size, maybe a little smaller. Yeah, 5'10", 180. And in this series against the Dodgers, the Astros needed someone to step up. And on Saturday, he had a double. And yesterday, 3-for-3 with a double. The Dodgers are dealing with a lot of injuries. There's a lot of reasons that you could argue that the Astros actually won this the way that they did. That would involve Dodgers injuries. I know a lot of people are like saying, hey, that's a BS excuse. It's a BS excuse for the 18-1 loss. But they also are fighting through some injuries. And I do think that if they were to play each other in a World Series or something like that, the series would be closer. But the Astros are dealing with so many things that someone named Zach Short had to play, and he factored in big over the weekend. So we're doing a first place, second place, third place, or who won the weekend. One, Jose Altuve, Christian Walker, two, Zach Short, three. An honorable mention to Yiner Diaz, who had a couple of home runs. And who else do we put in there? Victor Caratini's Grand Slam was pretty dope. But Yiner's going to be like the fourth place finish. He gets a couple of points, but he doesn't get up at the podium. 713-780-3776 to call the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN975. It's the most interactive sports talk show in town. You can also jump aboard on the brand new ESPN Houston app, available on both your iPhone and Android. And by the way, Summer Circuit continues this week. Pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. You can register for a chance to win them when we are at the Pleasure Pier inside of Sweet Scoops in Galveston. We'll be there from noon to 6 on Friday. Check out the entire Summer Circuit schedule at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776 to call the text again. Up next, the Rockets finally made a move that was a long time coming. What was it? You'll find out. It wasn't just the Kevin Durant trade, which was made official. 17 trade. Whoa. Stick around and find
out. Early evening delight.
In his last six games here, he has 8 home runs now and a home run in all 6 of them.
Oh, indeed, Jeff Blum. Nice little funny by Jeff at the end of that one. Astros swept the Dodgers over the weekend. Game and a half back of the Tigers for the best record in the sport. And they just took down the supposed best team in the National League, though a team that is dealing with quite a few injuries. What a 4th of July weekend it was. We did say that no one in the sports world blew off their fingers with fireworks. However, there was a famous person who blew up his hand with fireworks. And we'll have to get audio because it seems the man may have jinxed himself, if you will. A rapper and podcast host blew part of his hand off in a gruesome 4th of July fireworks mishap after sharing a video on social media holding fireworks and joking about blowing somebody up. Who wants to get blown up today? Rapper 4Extra asks in an Independence Day post. I'm going to blow your ass up. I'm going to say it as white as possible. I'm blowing somebody up today. That somebody, writes the New York Post, it turns out, was himself. So he's a rapper. He's also a co-host of No Jumper, which is a podcast and YouTube show. He has lost 2 fingers. A post on the No Jumper podcast's X account said he had reportedly blown off his hand with a firework. Okay, well, he's got to do the next show then. If you're posting this from the account, there was an image supposedly showing the injury. But No Jumper owner, Adam22. God, everyone's got such lame handles. Just go by your name. Clarified the extent of 4Extra. Jesus. Injuries in a separate post from his personal account. Quote, I'm hearing that 4Extra only lost 2 fingers, not the whole hand. Also, he was blind for a few hours, but apparently his vision is back. Well, that's nice. The video from 4Extra where he was making threats before blowing off 2 fingers. Dead homies, who wants to get blown up today? Stop playing. You see these? As he rolled some stubby fireworks around in his hand. I'm throwing them in your house. I'm blowing them at you. Off the bat. For real, for real. By the way, if you want to contribute, I know there's like actually worthwhile causes to contribute to for a GoFundMe in Central Texas. But if you're thinking about donating to a rapper and podcaster, 4Extra's sister started a GoFundMe page to help with medical expenses. The page reads, on the 4th of July, 4Extra was injured in a firework accident. As many of you know, medical care can be incredibly expensive and add up very fast. 4Extra, who's apparently goes by the name of Resin, is someone who lights up every room. Oh, that's you can't write that. He lights up every room. He just blew off his hands with fireworks. what are you doing? You got to use different language there. With his humor and energy and with his blown off fingers. If you've ever laughed with him, she didn't write that. Shared a moment or simply care about his well-being, any support would mean the world to us. So there you go. Our thoughts and prayers to 4Extra, who was blind for a moment and lost 2 fingers. The Houston Rockets lost Cam Whitmore. And by losing him, they traded him to the Washington Wizards in exchange for 2 second-round picks. I think this is a best-case scenario for both parties. The Rockets were not going to get much in return for Cam Whitmore because he wasn't playing much. I think we can all agree that he certainly has talent, and it would be nice to be able to keep someone like that. At the same time, if this guy is unhappy behind the scenes because of a lack of playing time and isn't buying into whatever team role he's given, then can he really be here if the team's winning and he's frustrated behind the scenes? You know, like he's Deontay Johnson. In a different circumstance, it does seem like, and I've seen more than anyone, Big Sarge Sports posting about this. He even posted this clip. Cam Whitmore in January was asked about his role with the Rockets and about not playing. Whitmore does seem rather introspective here and like he's not blaming the Rockets for not getting on the court, but that's in January.
What more do you think you need to
do? I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I have a lot of question marks for myself, just as you guys do too. But I have no idea. I don't know what other things I can do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, at least at that moment in time, it seems like he knew why he wasn't playing. But then you had that series against the Warriors where he's not even getting in garbage time, and in his exit interview, and he's a young guy, he's asked about his role on the team and how he feels about it, and he says, like, I don't know what's going on. And Ime Udoka in his end-of-season press conference says, no, he knows what's going on. I think that back and forth doesn't mean that behind the scenes things were a mess, that they were mad at one another. But, I mean, if you can't buy in after a series where your team makes it to the first round of the playoffs as the second best record in the Western Conference, and there seems to be very little perspective about like being a part of this group and working your way up by being more attentive defensively and maybe being a little bit less glory pony, show pony, when you have the ball in your hands. Because it does feel like when Whitmore's out there, he's the only guy out there. We've only seen him in limited doses, but that is something that I think a lot of people feel. That's what happens when you've got some guy who's got an incredible amount of confidence in himself and does have actually the skill to back some of that confidence up. But I just don't think it was going to work out here, and I don't think he was going to get the minutes to get better here either. So, yeah, you have to trade him. You have to trade him, and you don't get that much in return for him. And he might be good in Washington. I'm skeptical about that. It's Washington. They're a disaster of an organization. They have been for years. But Whitmore will get a chance to play a lot. He'll get a chance to put up a lot of numbers. He'll get a chance to prove himself. Meanwhile, the Rockets have one less malcontent in the locker room. The degree to which he was a malcontent, I think, has been overstated to a degree. But clearly, he and Ime Udoka didn't see eye to eye. Do you really want to keep someone like that around, even if the guy's got all the talent in the world, and just put him on the bench? I wouldn't personally. I would have liked to get more for him, but I get why the Rockets did this. And I think a lot of Rockets fans who are online who are crying about this, get a life. Get a life, you know? It's a damn good team. They just got Kevin Durant. Ime Udoka's not good for the long-term future of the team. Listen, Udoka's not the reason they couldn't hit any shots in the playoffs. It would be nice to have a little bit more of an offensive-minded coach in some moments, you know? Like, Udoka's a little bit more defensive-oriented. It would be nice to have somebody that was a little better at drawing things up offensively. It's why I think that it would be nice for the Rockets to get a good offensive coordinator style of assistant coach this offseason. But at the same time, there's a reason this team is as good as they've been the last two seasons as soon as Ime Udoka took over. It's because of him. Oh, he's holding some of these players back. Oh, he's holding back one player. It's very bizarre that people get upset about like a guy on the bench. He just becomes your guy, and you feel the need to constantly pump his tires. It's like it's a hipster band from back in the day. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Very interesting text from the 936 that I'm going to have to do a little digging on before I can actually comment on it. On YouTube at ESPN Houston on Twitch at ESPN975. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. The Astros just swept the Dodgers. The Astros just took down the three best teams in the National League, winning 8 of 9 over a period of 2 weeks against the Phillies, Cubs, and then Dodgers. So, screw it. Are the Astros the best team in baseball right now? I think a lot of us are feeling that way. Do you feel that way? 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN975, and live on the brand new ESPN Houston app, available on iPhone and on Android. Stick around.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Whether you're buying a home or you're refinancing, Kent Jones at Dream Rate Mortgage is the guy for you. He's done over 1,400 closings. He's been in it for 30 years. He knows all the hacks. He can save you thousands and thousands of dollars. He does it all the time. Dream Rate Mortgage is the way to go. Shop your loan.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.